Hi, readers. Welcome to Books Connect Us from Penguin Random House. This is a podcast about staying connected with each other and the stories and authors who inspire us. Gabriella Hurstig is the author of Inner Witch and Bewitching the Elements. Her new inspirational journal and spellbook, Embody Your Magic, will help readers embrace their inner witch, no matter where they are in their spiritual journey. The book offers up powerful meditations and rituals, space for notes and spells, and information on lunar practices, color magic, secret herbs, tarot suits, and more. Now let's join Penguin Senior Editor Nina Shield in conversation with author Gabriella Hurstig.
Hi, Gabriella. It's so good to talk to you.
Hi, Nina. You too. It's so good to see you and hear you. I'm excited to talk today.
Yes, this will be great. How are you doing? How are you out in LA right now? It's crazy times, obviously.
It is crazy time. I am, all things considered, doing well. There's a lot of smoke, but thankfully I have air conditioning and a home and fun projects to work on. So I'm doing as best as I can. God bless.
Good, good, good. So we have happily worked on three books together now, Inner Witch, Bewitching the Elements, and your latest, Embody Your Magic, which is a guided journal. And I think, I think you found a real readership here because there's such a groundswell of people and women especially saying, hey, you know, the path we've been on hasn't led anywhere good. So they're embracing new or possibly ancient, but new to them traditions, trying to reconnect with nature, that sort of thing. So I'd love to start by hearing a bit more about your own magical journey, which, I know some of, but our listeners might not.
Yes. Well, thank you for that beautiful compliment. That's honestly like helping people feel connected to something bigger than themselves through magic and through ritual is something that's super important to me, especially with women and just anybody who's not, you know, a heterosexual man, because that is unfortunately what a lot of religions, at least religions that many of us grew up with, cater to. So my background with magic is pretty long, just because I grew up with a mother who was already very into energy and yoga and crystals and healing. So that's something that I always was aware of and always had an interest in. And then beyond that, my dad is a rabbi, the reform movement of Judaism, which is a really liberal kind of branch of Judaism. So I've always been an Aquarian child. I've always been interested in the unknown. And as I was growing up, that didn't really change. But I was gifted a deck of fairy oracle cards when I was in sixth grade for Hanukkah, and it led me to a book about witchcraft, and I had gone to Salem, Massachusetts a few years later when I was around 8 or 9 on Halloween and had seen a ritual and had learned about witchcraft from the Wax Museum. And when I got this book a couple years later, I started to connect these dots about paganism, about witchcraft as a religion, and also just as a spiritual path that connects you with nature and energy. And also, I started to realize that there was this whole other aspect of the divine that was feminine, that was rooted in the mysteries of women and the goddess, and connecting with that and recognizing that there was an aspect of God that I saw myself in was something that really affected me. And I knew right away that both witchcraft and paganism, believing in different forms of the goddess, was something that was a part of who I was. Like, it was this intense knowing of recognition and of coming home that even like 14 years later I've never had. So I started reading everything I could about witchcraft. I started calling myself a witch to my parents' dismay. And, I knew that was who it was. And I continued exploring this throughout high school. And then in college, I started writing about it both on a fashion blog that I had and for my school's paper or magazine, and then eventually started writing for publications like Nylon and Broadly, which was one of Vice's verticals, and then eventually was approached to write a book about it. So that's what led me here, and it's been better than I could have ever imagined. I never really anticipated writing about witchcraft in this way, and it is something I'm so deeply grateful for, and something that I honestly have to pinch myself about each day, because it really feels like such an honor. It's both my family, both sides of my family are just as Jewish as you can get. So having the opportunity to feel safe being who I am and sharing my beliefs, both spiritually and religiously, is something that is something very sacred to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just mentioned connecting to the goddess a few times, and our next book together will actually be about the goddess. Can you tell me a little bit more about what I should expect from that manuscript, what you're most excited to dig into?
So I've been a writer, I've been a journalist since I was in high school, over a decade about, and I've never felt more excited or nervous to write anything. Like, it is something that I am really excited about, and there's been a lot of books on goddesses, which are all great, and a lot on the mythology and history of the goddess, but the way that I'm approaching this book is through a lot of research, through really thinking about the different archetypes of the goddess and how she is represented in cultures around the world. I talk about the history and then also about the different faces of the goddess. And then I also blend that with magical practice, with witchcraft, with rituals and spell work and embodiment practices. And that is obviously research as well, but something that has been such a deeply important part of my own journey that I'm really excited to share with. So there's going to be a lot of spells and rituals to connect with the different bases of the goddess. So right now I'm working on the chapter that talks about the goddess of the earth, which is the most ancient form of the goddess. And there's going to be a chapter on love goddesses and the dark goddess and goddesses of healing and protection. And then at the end of the book, or the second part of the book, will be really focused on establishing a relationship with the goddess, what the archetype of the goddess and the energy of the goddess is, because it can be really easy to just like link it to being a woman or femininity. But I think that really misses the expansiveness of this energy that is deeply creative and deeply able to bring things into this world, both, you know, through the heart and through like the womb, and the womb being an energy center that we all have. And I just want to make sure that this book is inviting to people who are trans or non-binary, who are queer, because I think equating the goddess to just this very specific kind of feminine expression or womanhood really misses the expansiveness of the goddess. So the last half of the book will be really about forming a relationship with her, how to create a devotional practice with the goddess, and how to create your own spells and rituals. So it'll be a balance of like a lot of research and then also personal gnosis and exploration for my own 13 or 14 years of working with the goddess in this way.
I love that. That sounds really exciting. Can't wait to see that. Has quarantine or just the state of the world changed any of your sort of rituals and practices or your approach to spirituality in general?
Ooh, that is such a good question. And it definitely has. I mean, one of the things I'm really thankful for is that I went into quarantine already having like a non-negotiable daily ritual practice. And that's something that I've been doing every day for almost, it'll be 2 years in November, that has become like a foundational part of my life. So that, since that was already there, it's been a lot easier to take the time to check in with myself every day to see how I'm doing, just because I already had those practices. But I've definitely felt like both this goddess book, which has, I felt, given me a lot of purpose, and having like that direction and long-term goal has really helped me look forward to something and like keep my head above water. But beyond that, just like diving into my own magical studies, like I feel like has exponentially increased since quarantine began. I just felt more committed and more ready to learn both about the history of the goddess in different cultures and religions, and then also study more deeply into the sect of Western occultism that I have been studying for about 2 years as well, which is Hermetic Kabbalah and I've been taking a lot of classes. I've been going to a weekly lodge that school that I attend teaches every Saturday. And that has also become a non-negotiable. I've only missed one of those classes since quarantine started, and that's been every week. And I just feel like I've really, especially like at first when I think we didn't really know how extensive the quarantine process or this year would really be, that I really, really dove headfirst into like taking a bunch of classes and learning. And I think just practicing new forms of ritual and studying more deeply with the tarot it's given me purpose, honestly. Like, it's really helped me find healing and find something to look forward to. So that has definitely been a big part of it for sure.
And does it include, since again, your most recent book with us is a journal, does it include a journaling practice? Is that part of your daily?
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that I've been doing. That's also part of like my morning meditation practice. So my morning practice includes so much different things. And one part of that is pulling tarot cards and recording about what those mean for me the day ahead. And then also just, you know, writing about what happened the day before and what I'm going through. And that has been so helpful. I think, especially for anybody else who's an air sign, it is really easy to just be living in our heads. I think anybody who is, you know, a reader or a writer, especially, like, we have this tendency to just be thinking all the time. And part of the reason I was so excited to write this journal, to write Embody Your Magic, is because, like, I know firsthand how powerful it can be to transmute thoughts in your head to paper. I think that is truly an act of magic, and ritualizing that and taking that from something that's ethereal, like a thought, into something physical, like a notebook, it really helps you just release the things that are taking up space in your head that you may not need. So yeah, that has been a part of my practice for almost 2 years, and I've been journaling on and off for probably 10 or 15 years before that. So that is definitely something that I'm very, very thankful for.
And how was writing a journal and prompts different from writing your other books?
Oh, it's such a good question. I think the main thing was that since I started the process and wrote this journal during quarantine, I really had more of a sense of like the fact that people right now really need to know how to take care of themselves. And I use the framework of bewitching the elements, of the different elements relating to different aspects of the self, like the mind and the body and the emotional body and the spiritual body. And I think having that framework, since I had written Bewitching the Elements, really helped me figure out what I felt like people would need in this moment. So obviously with the books, the timeline's a lot longer, like it's a year and a half to 2 years between writing and publishing. But I think because this journal was such a fast process, I was really able to like be not necessarily more present, but really ground the journal in what I felt like people needed right now. And I never anticipated us to still be in the state of COVID stuff just with quarantine when this came out, but I feel like it can be hard to figure out what you need. And I think that writing this journal really just allowed me to honor my own practices and think about what I needed from that, or what I felt like people needed from that to help themselves. So yeah, there's breathwork, there's journaling questions, there's tarot, there's a lot of different ways to really think about how you're doing holistically, which is what I think was the most important thing for me.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we've certainly found, you know, people an increased interest in writing and journaling in sort of exploring our interiority, since that's, you know, it's sort of in a forced state right now, but always helpful to excavate that. If you could give listeners or readers one piece of advice sort of right now about how to take a first step towards these practices, how to embody their magic, as it were, what would that be?
I would say to find one ritual that you can practice each day and come back to that as often as you can. That can be a lot of different things. That can be lighting a candle and taking a deep breath. and, you know, dedicating that candle to something like caring for yourself or checking in with yourself, and then using that as, excuse me, a prompt or moment to do that. It can be saying a prayer for peace every morning. It can be burning some incense or some herbs like lavender or mugwort, or even just taking a moment each day to take a few deep breaths and check in with yourself, or pulling a tarot card. I think that having a daily ritual really is one of those things that we start to recognize how it's working after we kind of make it a habit. But a lot of people, I think, myself included, can get really overwhelmed when we're trying to find something to do every day, because we kind of have this idea that we have to do like 5 things for it to be meaningful. And my biggest advice is always to just start small, and then once that becomes habit, to build on it. And I think that taking a moment each day to check in with yourself and to see how you're doing is probably the best thing we can do right now, so we don't mentally check out or kind of start this process of like disassociating from where we are in the present. And I like to use the elements as inspiration. So, you know, it can be washing your hands or doing some breath work or lighting a candle. And whatever feels the best for you is the way to go, and to just commit to honoring that as often as you can, as just a commitment to yourself to care for yourself.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And for people who are interested specifically in reconnecting to nature, obviously in some ways now we are doing that and, you know, going out in our backyards, but in some ways, you know, especially, you know, better than most, people who are trapped in their houses right now also for one reason or another, for extreme weather, or maybe they live in a, you know, little apartment in a city, mm-hmm. It's not safe to go outside. Is there something that you recommend for people who are hoping to still bring a little sort of nature, reconnection to nature into their lives?
So, I mean, it sounds kind of cliche, but just like even like looking at photos of like national parks or of the ocean, and like closing your eyes and visualizing that space and like meditating with it, I think can be one way. Even doing grounding meditation, so like feeling the base of your spine turning into roots that move deep into the earth and connect you to the earth, like it's a very easy way. But I think if you have a bath or shower, taking like a ritual bath or a ritual shower with the intention of connecting to water and connecting to yourself and your emotional body would be very easy, because that's something that most of us have access to. And even washing your hands with that same intention. And if you're able to get out and like just put your feet on the earth, even if it's for a few minutes with a mask on, or even if it's like you have to drive somewhere to do that, I think is really powerful. Like any way that we can spend time in nature, I think is really worthwhile, even if it means just driving through it and parking our car for a second. But I think the power of visualization and meditation are really easy, not necessarily easy, but a powerful way to do that when we can't in any other way. But even just like going outside and taking a deep breath if you have to wear a mask on, or looking up at the stars in the night, or feeling the sun on your skin, like if you can get outside for a second to just do something simple, I think it's worthwhile. And if not, just, yeah, turn to the elements in your home. You know, if you have a plant that you take care of that's in your home, take a second to thank it and just feel its energy. And if, you know, the same thing with water, just washing your hands with the intention of connecting to that element, or taking a deep breath, like, There's little cheats that we can do, but if you can go outside, that's definitely my biggest recommendation.
I think everyone's hoarding houseplants now for a reason.
Yeah.
we need it. So I'm also curious, you have a significant online following, and I'm curious if there's a specific topic or issue that when you post about it, you get the most impassioned response from your readers, which I guess could pertain to your book readers as well.
Yeah, that's a good question. Honestly, I feel like I'm really lucky because my like followers are very like protective of me, and like very like I don't really get a lot of hate. I feel like the most kind of like negative comments I would get are from like stoner bros from my High Times column. But I've definitely noticed that goddesses are something that my readers are very like excited about, impassioned responses. Whenever I talk about like my relationship to sexuality and like my erotic explorations and that kind of thing, that's something that a lot of my readers resonate, which is really validating. But I feel like, yeah, I think, you know what, I was dealing with some issues of people just copying me, and people, for some reason, a tweet that I had written a couple years ago that was like, I'm so thankful that I got to spend the rest of my life being a magical bitch. People had like cut that out and taken my name from it and were circulating it when it was my tweet, and I posted about it, and my readers would get, or my followers would like comment on those people's pages like, this is Gabby Hurstick, blah blah blah, and like very protective in that way. So whenever I talk about that, or whenever I talk about witchcraft is more than just like a trend, I get a lot of positive support. So there's not really like anything that I feel like really upsets my readers, but I'm also not really afraid to have my own opinions. So
well, that's great.
That answers the question.
Oh yeah, no, that's great that you have a supportive community. Obviously, that's not always the case in the cesspool of the internet and social media. So that's really lovely, actually. So I guess my last question would be, do you have any book recommendations or anything that you've read or watched or listened to recently that has inspired you?
Ooh, that is such a good question. And I definitely feel like I'm going to forget the movies that have inspired me. I've been watching a lot of just like scary movies and horror movies because I love Halloween, and horror is my favorite genre. But as far as books go, I always read like 10 books at a time. Books that are inspiring me right now, I'm reading a chunky book that's like 700 pages. I'm almost done with it, called The Myth of the Goddess, and it is beautiful, but it's a lot of the history of the goddess and mythology. So that's been really inspiring me. I've been reading the diaries of a nice nin, and those have been really, really beautiful and just super, super inspiring my heart. I'm reading a novel. I don't read a lot of fiction, but I was taking a walk and there was this whole like section of free books, and I picked up a book called Go West, Young Fucked Up Chick, about this girl who moves to LA, and it's been really good. And I've been in LA for about 4 years now, and reading about it, and like I've been watching this show called Lucifer that's based in LA, and even the show, Hollywood, like any LA story feels very inspiring for me right now. What else am I reading? I'm reading also a book called The Red Goddess, which is about the goddess Babylon. So even before I started writing this goddess book, I was just like diving deep into the goddess studies. So like that's been super inspiring. Lovecraft Country on HBO is incredible. That show, like, I think about it all the time, and I think it is such, it's so special. It feels like such a good critique and examination of the way that Black people have been treated in this country, while also recognizing, like, that horror and doesn't just have to be about, like, white issues and stuff. It's been really good, so that's pretty much. And Supernatural I started watching, so nothing too crazy or new. I'm just kind of reading a lot and trying to find scary movies that I haven't seen already.
Yeah, absolutely. No, my husband's a big fan of the Lovecraft Country book. And yeah, which if you love the show, you should probably check that out as well. Yeah,
I definitely will. I love that.
Okay, great. Well, I think that is it for me. Thank you so much for getting on this call. So lovely to see your face, as always.
For the beautiful questions. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, can't wait to see, you know, your next book and see how Embody Your Magic really reaches people. Yeah. I think will really help people process everything that's going on and how they're feeling and coping, and help them develop some new and healing rituals, hopefully.
I hope. That's the goal. So I'm really excited for it to come out.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Gabriella. Thank you, Nina. Always a pleasure.
Hey listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast that I'm really enjoying. Dirt Cheap is a new podcast that digs deep into the dollar bins of used bookstores in search of pulp, sass, and questionable grammar. Guided by hosts Amanda Meadows and Jeffrey Golden, each season of Dirt Cheap will explore a forgotten and discarded pulp novel culled from the dustbin of literary history, reenacting its pages through narration and sound design, stopping and starting to respond and bring its oddity and hilarity occasionally into relief. Amanda and Jeffrey bring these rare, bizarre stories to life each week, chapter by chapter, with a heavy dose of humor and a dash of schadenfreude. In this upcoming season one, they read the book Murder in the Glass Room, an LA noir novel that almost became a blockbuster film. Set in Los Angeles in the 1940s, it's a funny, surprising, and very dated tale about a murder starring a petulant bookie named Phil, who's obsessed with following that murder and also really into interior design. Phil is not a real detective, but he starts to act like one when his wife is murdered and he's the primary suspect. You don't need to read the full book to listen. Hosts Amanda and Jeffrey will guide you chapter by chapter, extracting excerpts and providing their own comedic commentary and storytelling styles. Join Amanda and Jeffrey in the efforts to solve this mystery together and have some fun along the way. Subscribe to Dirt Cheap now, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening to Books Connect Us. For more great book recommendations and information about your favorite authors, feel free to follow Penguin Random House on social media or visit penguinrandomhouse.com. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, go ahead and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, as it helps more listeners to find our show. This podcast is produced by Pat Stango and edited by Clayton Gumbert. I've been Erin Leaf, and until next time, this has been Books Connect Us.